MML 92.9 Cimarron, powered by Leaper Transmission in Garden City. It's cheaper to keep her, so take her to Leaper. The Rock.
Broadcasting live from the WKBC studios in Garden City, this is the Morning Roundup with Baylen Height and Derek Decker on 99.9 The Rock.
Finally, we get Derek's name on there. Man, we got it on there. Shout out Michael Anthony, Wes Glass, helping us out there, getting that set up for us so we can hear Derek's name on the intro. You've been on enough, Derek. I feel like that certainly warranted. We finally get you some shine with the name in the intro. So happy everyone could join us today for a Thursday edition of the Morning Roundup. Every morning, catch us live right here, 9 to 10 a.m. on 99.9 The Rock, live from the Garden City Studios here at KWKR. As always, Derek, I think you're still in Independence or maybe in Wichita, somewhere in between there after Dodge City's doubleheader win last night, the women and the men picking up a win. You had to work a little bit extra overtime as well, as did the men, to pick up that victory. But a lot of junior college basketball, and that's where we're going to start with our morning news and notes. Get you right in to the notes. Junior college basketball in the area. Garden City splits with Pratt. Dodge City goes 2-0. Derek, we're going to start with Garden City before we go ahead and bring it over to Dodge City. The women fell 65-58. Demi Black scored 25 in her Garden City debut. Just weren't tough enough to win, though. That's what head coach Antoine Scales said after the game, and it certainly felt like that in the fourth quarter because it was a 25-15 outscoring by the Pratt Lady Beavers. Garden City was missing four players due to injuries, but certainly feels like it was kind of the same old situation for Garden City in this one. Just could not get the play downhill that they had in some of their wins, those back-to-back wins before the break. Also, the three-point shooting was not there for Garden City. They were 0-5. This is a team that needs to be able to hit a few three-pointers here and there just to shake up the things offensively and throw teams off defensively as well. Was not in the books last night for Garden City, despite having a lead for a good portion of the game. Good news is, though, Demi Black, after sitting out the entire first semester, is available the rest of the second semester, and boy, did she look fantastic. Like I said, 25 points in her debut. The transfer from Adams State University. Garden City is going to be a tough out for a lot of teams, and you're going to start to look now with a 3-6 record in conference play to just fighting for a spot in that top eight. That's where you want to be in the Jayhawk Conference if you can get there. I think Garden City will be a very, very tough out. But they've got some work to do to finish out some games. Then the men, on the other hand, a win, 73-67. Larry Olinka, career-high 20 points, 10 rebounds for the Bronc Busters. Four Busters in double figures to finish out the night. They were without Andre Polk and Logan Feltman. Feltman expected to miss a game or two. Polk, meanwhile, got some work done, and he will be out for, we'll say, just about 2 to 3 weeks. That's what Rusty Elmore told us in the pregame conversation. So that's a big piece because he is currently ranked the number 19th junior college recruit in the country, already committed to play at Oakland University next year. The former Central Michigan standout Andre Polk will not be available for Garden City. Only 8 available players right now. So Garden City, a little shorthanded, just like the women, but able to pick up the win. Big thanks to Larry Olinka. He had a great game. Jabari McGee, Dejon Humphrey, and the guys only turned the ball over 10 times. And Derek, here is the biggest stat, and I know you've seen Garden City play a little bit sparingly. You weren't at the Dodge City game, but you've seen them. They've had problems turning the ball over late in games. The second half in particular, Garden City, their first turnover in the second half, though, coming with 12:03. That was a big number we talked to Coach Rusty Elmore about after the game. Pretty impressive performance for the men. The women still feel like they are just right there. But I think ultimately, women will be a tough out, and I think the men are going to be able to start challenging some of the upper echelon teams as they become more consistent. Right now, they're tied for fourth place. That's like not a bad spot to be if you're Garden City. Now, Derek, I know you had the long trip. We made you wait even longer, but let's go ahead and swing it over to the Dodge City recap over Independence.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, talking about challenging teams in the upper echelon of the conference, we saw firsthand last night it can happen to anybody. Independence may end up finishing near the bottom of the league, and they took Dodge City's men to double overtime. But we'll start with the women's game, 73-53 victory, really slow out of the gate. And the setup at Independence is interesting because the women's locker room is really small, and there's no bathroom in there. So I saw Coach – I happened to bump into him, Coach Landon Steele, at halftime of the women's game where Dodge City was up 33-27, and they had 15 turnovers in the first half. And Coach Steele, you know, just straight up walked in and told me, hey, I told you it was going to be ugly. That long stretch of break, he feels like it's nice to get all his players kind of off the floor and not thinking about basketball for a few days, but he feels like the break's a little bit too long, 3 weeks between games, and it showed up in the first half last night. But they did a nice job of recovering. Balanced effort with Jenna Rose Mafua leading the way. 16 points. Shakara Anderson also had 12 points off the bench. She's been a good piece for them from time to time. She's had as many as 21 in a game. She's kind of a quiet contributor for Dodge City. But they really took control of the pace in the second half and scored 44 points in the paint. Now, you're very familiar with Dodge City in terms of how they shoot the three ball. They're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, but they only made six of them last night and really made a concerted effort to pound the basketball inside. Tons of layups right at the rim, and I thought their effort in the second half against Coach Jim Turgeon and the Pirates was really impressive, and they remain in first place alone. Now, over to the men's game, as mentioned, a double overtime thriller, 89-85 win for Dodge City, where the Conks trailed for 38 minutes of regulation in that game. And then DJ Jones split a pair of free throws to send it to overtime at the end of regulation. Let me set up the scene a little bit. Dodge City, at the end of regulation, is down one after getting a bucket. And Independence is trying to inbound the basketball. And Alan Drucker shoves off and gets called for an offensive foul. So the Conks get it. There's 11 seconds left. Conks get it underneath the bucket, try to inbound it. And Drucker fouls DJ Jones before they're able to get it in, splits the pair of free throws. Drucker goes down and misses a follow-away three, goes to overtime. Very hotly contested first overtime where Independence missed a three at the end of that as well. And then in the second OT, Dodge City finally gained a little bit of separation, just a little bit, and it was just enough because Cam Parker went off in double OT for Indy. He had 10 points in the second overtime alone, knocked down a 28-footer off the dribble. I mean, it's a guy that can just make shots, and he's a very talented player. But Jason Edwards scored 12 of his 23 points in overtime, and the experienced guard, Chris Robinson, which Coach Brad Witherspoon always calls a calming presence to have him on the floor, very steady rock in that offense. He had 21 points, and I thought he was the better player in regulation, and then Jason Edwards kind of took over in OT. They only attempted 9 three-pointers in the game, which is hard to believe considering two overtimes. They pounded it in for 48 points in the paint. Good chunk of their offense came in the mid-range last night, and that gritty win gets them to stay in first place alone at this juncture. And there were a lot of points in that game, especially in the second half, when it really felt like Dodge City was on the ropes and they had their back against the wall. So tremendous recovery last night. Again, very, very impressive win. I think I called in the postgame the most impressive win of the year, and I stand by that. And I know Independence isn't quite the quality of opponent. It's certainly not their best win on paper, but the way they had to do it, to go on the road and get that win in a night where Coach Witherspoon said, that's about as bad as we can play in the first half, and then started to turn things on in the second half. Independence is so much better at home than they are on the road, and a heck of a win. And again, it just goes to show you, if you ever need a reminder in this conference that there are no nights off, last night was it.
You're right, Derek. And Independence, to me, ever since Garden City saw them, they kind of came out in Garden City gave that game away on the men's side, for sure. And as I'm listening to that game, I got a chance to catch the end of the first overtime just because of the way our game had ended and you guys were still in action. It felt like to me I was hearing deja vu almost a little bit, right? Because I had seen this happen with Garden City against Independence, and that's the way they play teams. They're scrappy. It's tough to win, especially there on the road. And I'll tell you what, based on last night, even though they lost, Independence to me feels like a team that, you know, if they get in towards the end of the postseason and into that conference tournament, you could catch them as an 8, maybe a 7 seed somewhere in there, and maybe you're taking a night off, and they could knock you right out of it. I really do feel like that with Independence. But Dodge City, impressive win, and probably the most impressive, you're right, just because of the situation and the circumstance. I've been impressed with Jason Edwards from afar all season long, Chris Robinson as well. But Edwards, a guy you've talked about quite a bit on this show because he started on the bench. I mean, he was not a big-time name in junior college athletics like he is at this point of the season. He's had a really nice season. It's been fun to watch Dodge City. And more they get deeper into this stretch of, you know, a one-loss team in the conference, the way the conference is behind them, a pair of two-loss teams still right behind them, though, on their tail, but they've got a couple of tiebreakers and things like that. We're going to be sitting here at a point and saying, at what point do they clinch it outright? It really does feel like that for Dodge City.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I'll point out this too, Baylen. You mentioned Jason Edwards. Coach Witherspoon and Edwards have a very interesting relationship. Edwards is the type of playmaker where you have to live with a few bad shots here or there because he can make impossible shots. He made one at the end of regulation of three to keep him in it. They were down four with under 30 seconds left and leaned into an off-balance three that he was able to knock down. Had an incredible and one where he ran into a defender off the dribble from 15 feet, just tossed it up at the rim and got a three-point play in overtime. This is the kind of guy that can make those plays, but he sat, get this, Baylen, Jason Edwards sat for 16 minutes of the second half. I mean, he didn't play hardly at all in the second half, and then Coach Witherspoon told me on the postgame, he's like, look, I was trying to teach him a lesson. We felt like we needed to get something through to him, but the guy just responds to everything, and you know, Coach Witherspoon's like, look, he's a really mature kid. He comes back on the floor after sitting all that time, understands, you know, what's going on, and just quietly and calmly comes out and makes plays and gets us a win. And that's the kind of player that he is. He's a very mature young man for being as young and relatively inexperienced at the college level as he is. You know, he's from Miles College and he transferred in but didn't play basketball last year. And so he is just a tremendous talent. And it's a saga, but it's not dramatic. You know, Jason Edwards never mentally checks out of the game, always keeps it in there. And Coach Witherspoon, I think, has done a very nice job in maximizing his potential.
Dodge City back in action on Saturday at the Student Athletic or Activity Center, I should say, in Dodge City against Colby. It's a Colby team that is very scary as well because they've been in a lot of games, haven't been able to spring a lot of wins, but still very, very competitive. Garden City, meanwhile, hits the road to face off against Cloud County Community College. That'll be a top 25 matchup. Garden City already receiving votes. You think if they can get a win on Saturday, potentially, at least on the men's side, some conversation of sneaking into the back end of that top 25. I know Coach Rusty Elmore would probably say, we're not quite there yet, but always nice to get potential recognition. You can hear those games, as always, Garden City right here on 99.9 The Rock, and then Dodge City always on Z98.1. It'll be nice for Derek to be back at home, I'm sure. He'll enjoy the lack of travel on Saturday, and then he gets to stay home on Wednesday as well as the same team Garden City saw last night heads over to Dodge City. That gets us through our junior college recap from last night. One more news and note story before we head into our first break. Just a quick note, NBA action last night, Oklahoma City Thunder falling to the Orlando Magic. Kind of a surprising loss there for the Thunder. Potential rookie of the year, Paolo Banchero, on the Magic, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did have 33 points once again. 126-115 the final. Thunder fall to 16-22, starting to drift into those preseason expectation territory that we initially had them at as they fall further behind in the West. Some other news and notes out of the NBA last night. The Lakers, pretty shorthanded as well, getting a win over the Heat. Both those two teams near the back end of the Eastern and Western Conference, respectively. And then the Bucks letting a double-digit lead disappear in the final 2 minutes against the Raptors, ended up coming back and winning that game. Derek, anything else that stood out from you from last night that we may have missed or about junior college or even the NBA?
Yeah, I just think that with the Thunder, you mentioned, and you've got it written down, and talking about the preseason expectations for this team, again, there's still so much to be excited about for the Thunder, and this is not necessarily a bad thing for Oklahoma City, and I think that's a really, you know, this is a team that's got some potential down the road. You certainly have found the piece where you can build around, and so oftentimes for NBA teams, that is difficult to find, and I think that the Thunder should count themselves as fortunate for being able to find that. Also, got a chance to catch some of the Sixers-Pacers game while it was on kind of in the background. That was an incredible game with James Harden going for 26 for the Sixers and outlasting the Pacers 129-126. And dare I say this, at this moment, that's a potential playoff preview. Those two teams, theoretically, I mean, there's still plenty of time to go. I mean, we're only 40 games in. But, you know, that's two teams that could battle again in the playoffs down the road, and that has the makings, at least given the game last night, for a potentially really exciting playoff series.
Well, that, and there was no Joel Embiid last night either, so even more impressive that the 76ers were able to pull that one off. They've always been kind of a thorn in the side of the Pacers, at least following the Pacers in my fandom's career. I seem they can just never get over the hurdle when it comes to the 76ers ever since Joel Embiid's been there, no matter who's been there for the Pacers. It's been tough sledding, but you're right, Derek. Interesting games last night, a lot of fun at the professional basketball level. We're going to go ahead and head in on into our first break, and we do have a lot coming up, so stick around. We're going to talk college basketball anarchy. Three unranked teams knocking off three top 25 teams. We'll talk about those. Actually, four. I forgot one. Derek just added one in there. Four teams fall, and one might surprise you. We'll look at conference tournament or conference play so far. Is it just going to be everyone eating each other alive? Big 12 conference could be the top college basketball conference this year. We'll tell you why. And then talk about this U.S. soccer story that has been coming out the last couple of days as we diagnose and kind of digest all of that information. All that and much more coming up in our second segment on the Morning Roundup. It's a Thursday morning. Come right back with us here in a few minutes.